Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Redman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hey, this is Vinny Appice. I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, they rust when they sweat. It's Genghis and Redman.
Hi, this is Vinny Appice. You're listening to the Genghis and Redman Show. Crank it up. I guess you're on live with Ragman Mono E Mono with a drumming legend, Mr. Vinny Appice from The Last in Line. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm doing good. This is after sound check. There's a lot of noise in here.
Yeah, it's kind of loud. Well, I think we can get this to kind of drop down in the mix, but we'll be good. But, hey, welcome back to Houston. Big fan of yours, your whole career. Can you kind of tell me how the whole Last in Line thing started? It seems like, you know, after Ronnie died, I don't know, Bib contacted you and said, hey, you want to play some of the old tunes again, or how'd that go?
Well, actually, that's what happened. Viv contacted me and said, he spoke to Jimmy, and you want to get together and have a jam. You know, play some of the songs, just have some fun. That's all it was. So we did that, and it was really cool. We had a lot of fun. We said, let's do it next week. And next week we did it, and Andy Freeman was in town, so I called him. He's an old friend. He came down and sang, and he blew everybody away. So then we said, why don't we do some gigs? This might be a cool thing. And we played all the old Dio stuff, because we didn't have any of our own tunes. So. And we did that, people loved it, and it just built upon that. Then we got an offer from Frontier Records to do a record. I said, wow. So we wrote the stuff and put that out, and now we kind of got established as, you know, our own thing, plus all our history that we have. So, and now we're here, the second album coming out next week, so we're real excited about that.
Did Ronnie ever talk about getting the original lineup back together before he passed? Because I know you guys were playing in Heaven and Hell and so forth, so...
No.
Okay. I just kind of wondered because it seemed, you know, I'm not sure how many years after Ronnie passed that this came together, and I mean, I'm thankful it is because we get to hear the songs again, but I was always curious if Ronnie, or he just kind of moved past that.
No, because he had his DO band together with, I don't know who was in it at the time, if it was Craig and Craig Goldie, Simon, and you know, we were doing Heaven and Hell, so, you know, and at that point, Viv and Ronnie weren't really in communication, so no, it was a big no on that one.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the main difference between the first album and the new album, too?
Well, first of all, we got a different bass player. Obviously, Jimmy passed away, you know, and the big difference is we did so many gigs now before we started writing the second album, so the band was really tight and we really worked together well. And so when we went in to write with Phil, it was like natural. It was like writing, you know, together with Jimmy. We just go in a room, we jam, put riffs together, put things we like together, build it up, and so it was pretty natural, you know, the way that. So these songs are a little bit more, maybe they're a little bit more polished, you know, and they we took a couple more chances on these songs, but the rawness is still there, you know, and the sound is still there. So we think it's just a more, you know, an upgrade from the other album.
Well, to me, I can tell a natural progression. I know the thought behind the first record, from what I read, was let's kind of do this in the vein of where we were Holy Diver. But this record seems like you're progressing as a band. Like you said, the chemistry has come out in this new record for me.
Yeah, because the first album we tried to keep it more, you know, back what we were doing in the 80s, and which was the right thing to do for the first record. This record combines that and some other new ideas, with all the old ingredients too. You know, we played the songs in the studio. We didn't paste anything or cut and paste. And yeah, you know, we played together, no metronome, and that's the way we did Holy Diver. You know.
That's awesome. So I'm sure everybody lives in different places. Did you all say, okay, we're going to book some time, we're going to sit in a room and jam, or did y'all come in with more finished ideas and work on those? Or,
well, yeah, we all live in different places. So it was like Viv's schedule with Def Leppard, everybody's schedule, we figure out what weekends we can get together. And we would get together in a rehearsal room, sometimes the three of us, sometimes the four of us, and we would jam and start writing and putting things together. So, you know, we probably wrote the first four songs within a couple of sessions, and then it was months in between before we got together. We were able to get together and write the rest of the songs too. But that gives you time to listen and see where we're at, you know. So it actually worked out good that way, you know. So we didn't have the luxury of just having 2 months every day to go in the studio and write stuff, you know, jam together.
Well, I figured that as much, because you're busy as hell. Viv's busy as hell. Andy's looks like he's got a lot going on as well. And then Phil, I know Phil's career, but I'm not sure what he was doing prior to joining the band. But I was a big fan of Beggars and Thieves and some odd Ozzy stuff he did.
Yeah, Phil's got, he's playing a lot in the rock wall, too. And he had that going on, and he does sessions, and he does a lot of things on the side. And so it's just everybody's schedule is nuts. And Andy was doing Rock Vault at the time. So it's like a scheduling problem. But we managed to do it, and when we got together, it was very productive. We didn't get together for two. Sometimes we'd do 2 days, and we'd have two songs pretty much. Sometimes 3 days, we'd have two or three songs. So we didn't waste any time. And it was stuff we really liked, you know. So it was very productive when we got together, very creative, and it was a lot of fun.
Kind of like an old school approach where you get in the studio, knock it out, rather than, I think in the 80s it turned into, hey, we're going to Ibiza and we're going to spend 2 months working on this record. This is more of the old school, hey, we got 5 to 10 days to record this, let's do it.
Well, back then, you know, budgets were a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars to make a record. So you could afford to, hey, let's go to Hawaii and go make the record there. But here, you know, we're working on a limited budget, and just go into the rehearsal place and crank it out.
Well, one of my early favorites is Sword from the Stone on the new record. Kind of heavy. That one's got more kind of a Dio vibe to me. A really, really cool song. Do you have a cool story about how that song came together?
No. Right now, no. I don't know what... I can't remember the song right now, and that's from the first album.
Oh, no, it's a new one.
Blood from a Stone.
Sword from a Stone.
Oh. I thought it was Blood from a Stone. Because it was... Actually, Blood from a Stone was a Dio record. Dio song. We just jammed that, jammed those riffs together, and then I suggested to go to the chord changes, like in the chorus. Why don't we do something like, you know, big, like Alice in Chains kind of chord feel thing. And we messed around with that, we came up with it, and we gave it to Andy, and he came up with all the lyrics, all the melodies, and pulled it together, you know. So I really like that song. It's a cool song.
Very cool. And I like what you guys have done. You've got three videos out already, and the record's getting released next week. Do you think that's going to help? I guess it's creating buzz, definitely, but do you think it'll help with the initial sales and help carry it?
Yeah, I think it will. And people live, you know, it's good because people get to know the songs. And then we play Black Out the Sun. They seem to know it. They know Landslide and Year of the Gun. Videos are out, so people that are fans tend to listen to that stuff, so it's helping that way. As far as the sales, I, you know, if they like that, they'll buy the record, you know. So we had a pledge campaign going, but that got blown up by pledge. It screwed the whole thing up. So now that was supposed to boost the sales, the initial sales, but that got just destroyed. They screwed it up, you know. They went under. I don't know what they're doing. But the thing's been canceled, and we're trying to get everybody, all our fans, refunded, you know. And then anything they bought can be bought direct from us, you know. So it's a good point there, young bands. Handle your money yourself. Don't trust too many people.
There's so many different avenues with social media today. There was a band I interviewed from, they were from Finland, kind of a death metal band, and they had a GoFundMe to tour in the U.S. to get money to come over here, and people kind of contributed. So I haven't heard of bands kind of having a pledge where you're, hey, buy directly from us.
There's a lot. They call it a pre-order campaign. What you do is you buy the record, you buy a special t-shirt we had made for that, or you buy any combination of things that were just there for pledge campaign. And it raises money, and then it promotes sales. A lot of bands, you go on pledge, there's a lot of bands up there, and everybody's getting screwed pretty much. So,
well, what do you have next after, or how long are y'all going to be able to, are y'all going to tour with this, and then what do you have next?
We're going to tour until May, then Viv gets started with Def Leppard, and then we do a gig together with Def Leppard in England, the Download Festival.
Oh, awesome.
So we're going to be playing on one stage, and then Viv will be headlining that night with Def. And So, and then I go to Europe and do a tour. Last year I did the thing called the Mob Rules Live. We've got a really good band in Italy, and we did 25 shows around Europe. And we play all the Mob Rules songs and some old Sabbaths, a couple Dio songs. And people love it, you know. So I'm going to do another tour of that. And after that, probably go to South America with that, too. And then in September, we'll kick this out again and freeze up.
So this is something you guys are going to continue.
It's we want to play as much as we can. Yeah, yeah.
What's your name, son?
My name is Viv.
Yeah, with the funny accent?
Love your work, Carmen.
That's great.
Cheers.
There you go. That was awesome. Are you planning to do anything with Carmine, with the Drumoars or anything like that?
We do gigs with that. We got a gig coming up in Seattle. When the frig is that? That's in June. No, July. July. And we're trying to put some dates around that. We have fun doing it. It's a high-energy rock show. Got a band. We play music from our histories, and it's a really good show. Really cool. It's not just drums, you know. We got a... like 10, 12 songs in the set with the band. Yeah, it's a good show.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I did want to ask you, I read something on you, and I was not aware of this, that you were part of John Lennon's backing band?
Excuse me. Where did you get my sleep last night? What happened was my band was managed by the Record Plant Studios in New York City. And I was like 16 years old. Our producer was Jimmy Iovine, and he was a friend from Brooklyn. And he brought us in the studio, and they signed us to a deal, and we just had a rehearsal room for free in Manhattan, which is amazing. And that's where the studio was. So one night, Jimmy called us and said, can you come down to Hand Claps? It was a 9-piece band. We had 4 home players. So we go downstairs, walk in the room, put the headphones on. There's John Lennon. Oh, my God. And then we wound up doing Hand Claps on the song, Whatever Gets You Through the Night. That's me and my band doing Hand Claps.
That's awesome.
And then he, from there, he used to come watch us play at the rehearsal room, hang out, smoke pot, play pool with him, hang all the time. Then he asked us to do 3 videos with him, 3 videos, and we did his a live gig he did at the New York Hilton that was on TV all across the world. Then I found out later that was his last show.
Oh, wow.
I fucking played it.
Wow.
Who would have known that, right? Like, wow. So that was like, I was going to high school in the morning.
Wow.
And doing that night.
God, that had to be surreal, man.
Yeah, I quit school because of that. Like, this is not working. But I was able to pursue drumming, you know, so didn't matter.
We had a brother in Vanilla Fudge, too, that was kind of making it big, too, you know.
It was easy because my parents saw the success Carmine's had and made a living out of it, and they went, okay, you're going to quit. So they were behind it.
Well, back to last night, as far as set list, how do you guys come up with that? I've seen some previous set lists you guys have played on this tour. I didn't see anything from Sacred Heart. Are y'all going to be mixing and matching songs, or are you kind of set to a set list?
Well, there's certain Dio songs we have to do.
Right.
And we want to do. Rainbow in the Dark, We Rock, Don't Talk to Strangers, Stand Up and Shout. Those songs are like the anchors. So we just know we got to do those. From the first album, there's Devil and Me and Star Maker, Mata, we do that. And then we just pick a couple of good ones we like from the new album. So we put them all together. We start with what you got to do, you know.
What style is your favorite? The kind of up-tempo stuff or the slower? I like some of your slower stuff. Your drumming is just so awesome.
Oh, thanks. What, on a new record?
Just in general, with everything I hear you play. I love your fast drumming.
Yeah.
When you're doing the slow stuff with the Sabbath and the Dio, I love that stuff.
Yeah, there's an art to playing it behind the beat a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Keeps it really dark. It keeps it heavy. A lot of is play more on the beat or ahead of the beat. So from playing with Sabbath, Tony's so steady when he plays, and they're so doomy and heavy that it was like behind the beat all the time. So I learned how to play like that with them. That was really a good thing, good lesson.
Did you talk to Tony about coming back after Ronnie passed and doing the stuff that they did with Ozzy? Or I know they were trying to get Bill, and that didn't turn out so well. So
yeah, when Ronnie passed, there was talk of maybe getting Rob Halford and doing some shows because he sang with us one time before. But that didn't materialize, and then we went our separate ways, and they planned the next album, and then they had different producers, and so I didn't know any of those guys, Rick Rubin, all those guys. So I don't know. I was busy doing other things.
Yeah. Well, you always got something going on. I like the three-legged dog thing you did with Carlos, and big fan of World War III. And Tracy's actually a friend of mine, so he wanted me to tell you hi.
Oh, good, good. Tracy's great. Great player.
I'd love to see you guys do something together again.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see him much at all. I don't hear from him. And that'd be nice.
He's kind of doing his own thing. Puts out a CD or two a year and stuff like that. But he plays around L.A. a little bit. But
Yeah, I just don't run into him. Yeah. I'm in California, too. But he's a good guy.
Definitely. Well, Vinny, I know you probably want to go get some grub and kind of decompress before the show.
Evening's just starting, and I'm tired.
But before we let you go, is there anything you want to tell the fans out there?
Thanks for listening all these years. I've had a very long career, longer than usual, and still going. And I love playing. I love playing with this band. This band's fantastic. Lucky to be playing with such a great band. And it's because of all the fans that supported this music and me and everybody in the band. Big thank you. Thanks for listening. And, we got more to come.
Stay awesome. Is there a song one of your favorites off the new record you'd like to play before we end the podcast here?
I like them all. I really like Year of the Gun. I think it's different kind of thing. So, but I like them all.
Well, Benny, we want to thank you for coming on the RightToRock.com and the Genghis and Ragman Show. We want to tell all the fans to grab Less Than Lion's brand new record, too, out on Frontiers. Benny, it's an honor to talk to you.
Too. All right. Well, thanks for playing it.
Thanks, Benny.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Also, we got to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out. And keep checking us out. And horns up.